So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 29, titled Explanation of Devotional Service by Lord Kapila. So there are two texts combined for today, text 1 and 2. Devahute Uvacha,
Devahute Uvacha,
Lakshanam Mahat Adinam,
Lakshanam Mahat Adinam,
Prakrite Purushasya Cha,
Prakrite Purushasya Cha,
Swarupam Lakshyate Misham,
Swarupam Lakshyate Misham,
Yena Tat Paramartikam,
Yena Tat Paramartikam,
Yata Sankeshu Katitam,
Yata Sankeshu Katitam,
Yanmulam Tat Prakakshate,
Yanmulam Tat Prakakshate,
Bhakti Yogasya Me Margam,
Bhakti Yogasya Me Margam,
Bruhi Vistarasa Prabho,
Bruhi Vistarasa Prabho,
Devahuti Ruvacha,
Devahuti Ruvacha,
Lakshanam Mahat Adinam,
Lakshanam Mahat Adinam,
Prakrite Purushasya Cha,
Prakrite Purushasya Cha,
Swarupam Lakshyate Misham,
Swarupam Lakshyate
Yena Tat Paramartikam,
Yena Tat Paramartikam,
Yata Sankeshu Katitam,
Yata Sankeshu Katitam,
Yan Mulam Tat Prakeshate,
Yan Mulam Tat Prakeshate,
Bhakti Yogasya Me Margam,
Bhakti Yogasya Me Margam,
Bruhi Vitsar Bhuhi Vistarasa Prabho,
Bruhi Vistarasa Prabho.
Devahuti Uvacha.
Devahuti Uvacha.
Devahuti said.
Devahuti said.
Lakshanam.
Lakshanam.
Symptoms.
Symptoms.
Mahat Adinam.
Mahat Adinam.
Of the Mahatattva.
Of the Mahatattva.
And so on.
And so on.
Prakriti.
Prakriti.
Of material nature.
Of material nature.
Purushasya.
Purushasya.
Of the spirit.
Of the spirit.
Cha.
And
Swarupam, the nature,
Lakshyate,
is described.
Amisham,
of those,
Ena,
by which,
Tat
Parama Artikam, the true nature of them,
Yatha,
as
Sankeshu,
in the Sankhya philosophy,
Kaditam,
is explained,
yet,
of which,
Mulam,
ultimate end,
Tat,
that,
Prakashate,
they call,
Bhakti
Yat. Bhakti Yogasya,
Bhakti Yogasya,
of devotional service,
me,
to me,
Margam,
Margam,
the path,
Bruhi,
Bruhi,
please explain,
please explain,
Vistara,
Vistara,
Vistarasa,
Vistarasa,
at length, Prabhu,
Prabhu,
my dear Lord Kapila,
my dear Lord Kapila.
So translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Devahuti inquired, "My dear Lord, you have already very scientifically explained the symptoms of the total material nature and the characteristics of the spirit according to the Sankhya system of philosophy. Now I shall request you to explain the path of devotional service, which is the ultimate end of all philosophical systems." There are three paragraphs of Srila Prabhupada's purport. Now we'll read the three paragraphs and then we'll explain. So all of you be attentive. The first paragraph. In this 29th chapter, the glories of devotional service are elaborately explained, and the influence of time on the conditioned soul is also described. The purpose of elaborately describing the influence of time is to detach the conditioned soul from his material activities, which are considered to be simply a waste of time. In the previous chapter, material nature, the spirit and the supreme lord or super soul are analytically studied, and in this chapter, the principle of bhakti yoga or devotional service the execution of activities in the eternal relationship between the living entities and the personality of Godhead are explained. The second paragraph. Bhakti yoga, devotional service, is a basic principle of all systems of philosophy. All philosophy which does not aim for devotional service to the Lord is considered merely mental speculation. But of course, bhakti yoga with no philosophical basis is more or less sentiment. There are two classes of men. Some consider themselves intellectually advanced and simply speculate and meditate, and the others are sentimental and have no philosophical basis for their propositions. Neither of these can achieve the highest goal of life, or if they do, it will take them many, many years. Vedic literature, therefore, suggests that there are three elements, namely the Supreme Lord, the living entity, and their eternal relationship. And the goal of life is to follow the principles of bhakti or devotion service, and ultimately attain to the planet of the Supreme Lord in full devotion and love as an eternal servitor of the Lord. Last paragraph. Sankhya philosophy is the analytical study of all existence. One has to understand everything by examining its nature and characteristics. This is called acquirement of knowledge. But one should not simply acquire knowledge without reaching the goal of life or the basic principle for acquiring knowledge, bhakti yoga. If we give up bhakti yoga and simply busy ourselves in the analytical study of the nature of things as they are, then the result will be practically nil. It is stated in the Bhagavatam that such engagement is something like husking a paddy. There is no use beating the husk if the grain has already been removed. By the scientific study of material nature, the living entity and the super soul, one has to understand the basic principle of devotional service to the Lord. It's a very beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada. We will discuss soon. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Sri Chaitanya Manopistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahi Tadatisva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna.
So the three paragraphs are there. Now in the first paragraph, Srila Prabhupada talks about devotion service a little bit and is trying to talk about the previous chapters and how the Sankhya philosophy is trying to get us a glimpse of the Sankhya philosophy by Lord Kapila. So what we'll do in this paragraph is that we will discuss the previous chapter which has come to this point, you know, quickly. So that will give the first chapter, first paragraph. The second paragraph, Srila Prabhupada is talking about the aspects of devotional service, right? And why it should not be done as a sentiment is very, very important for us, right? That also we'll discuss. Followed by Sankhya philosophy itself. So let us also talk a little bit about Sankhya and application in Bhakti Yoga. You know? By this end of this class, you should have some glimpse of Sankhya and its application devotional service. So what's happening is, going back to, now we are in chapter 29, the start of the first chapter. The start of the first verse of chapter 29, right? Now, we have to go back a little bit, fairly back. But we are not going very back. Just a glimpse. Now what's happening is, in the 25th chapter, the glories of devotional service, Devahuti is asking a question to Lord Kapila, who's none other than his her own son, Kapila Muni. Lord Kapila is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. It's an expansion of Lord Krishna himself. Now, this was a time when Kardama Muni has left Devahuti because he left to the forest for austerity, and before he left, he has asked Devahuti that your son, who is none other than the Supreme Lord, will enlighten you in the process of devotion service, and he left. So Devahuti, after her husband, that is Kardama Muni, when he left, Devahuti is asking her son a question. She's saying, I have come to the senses, and I understand that the senses are giving a lot of problems. It's going beyond my control, and it's trying to act me, and I'm trying to act on the bodily platform, right? The senses are overwhelming me, and it takes me to the bodily platform. And because of that, I'm put into ignorance. So if you act on the bodily platform, then you are acting in the mode of ignorance. So I am coming to the level of ignorance. Now please tell me, what is that yoga system which will allow me to completely eradicate the miseries of my existence in the material life and then attain to devotion service or attain to Krishna? So that was the question. So this question she asked in chapter 25. And then Kapila Muni starts explaining, you know, just gives very little about the Sankhya, you know, about devotion, a little bit, you know, just a glimpse. And then he's going to start chapter 26, right? Now chapter 26 is fully talking about Sankhya philosophy. In that, he's talking about the divisions of matter, spirit, and super soul. Meditation of the super soul. So the 26th chapter. Now, you have to hold your breath, because in the third paragraph of the purport, we'll be discussing in detail about the Sankhya. For the time being, you know what is Sankhya, right? So the 26th chapter is talking about the Sankhya. What is Sankhya? Sankhya philosophy means, Sankhya means to count. Sankhya means, by analytical approach, you're trying to find out the material existence, the various aspects of material existence. Now, why do one has to know that? Because in the Vedic times, right, the priority is given, or one acts on the soul, not on the body. Wherever there is a learning about the soul, or wherever, you know, there is a relationship between Lord and his servant in terms of soul, that is being enhanced, or that is being talked about. But unlike this Kali Yuga, where everything is dwelling only on the body, right? So Sankhya philosophy shows the existence, or shows analytical, or it tries to evaluate the analytical study of the material creation. Now, when you say analytical study, what they do is they try to understand all the substances in this world. It's a very, very complex phenomena. It's more than your IT project, you know. Just to find out what is matter, what is spirit, and to find out the final existence of soul, right? Because see, everything, you know, whatever we're seeing, right, that's got the soul behind it. There is a spirit behind matter, because matter cannot work on its own. That's a philosophy. For example, if you see someone driving, Srila Prabhupada gives a common example. If you see someone driving a car, you can see the car driving. We say the car is going. But who is driving the car? A person. The person is a spirit soul. Right? He is driving a car. In the same way, helicopter or aeroplane or anything, there is a soul behind matter. Matter cannot work on its own. So that is a philosophy, right? For example, this table is there. It cannot move on its own. It has to be moved by a person who is spiritual in nature. right? So that is why the Sankhya philosophy, it's a very, very complex one. They have to analyze everything. How they analyze? There are about 24 material elements they analyze. Not in terms of the present situation where they analyze carbon, sulfur. It is not that. The 24 analysis consists of the 5 gross elements, the 5 subtle elements, the senses, the working senses, the knowledge occurring senses, the object of the senses, mind, intelligence, false ego. Those are known as material elements. Here when we say something material, they say, are you talking about the car or a TV or a fridge? That is what the presence, in the present people's mind, you know, material things means, that's what they mean. Those days, right, material means your body is material. Because this body consists of 8 material elements, 5 gross and 3 subtle. So the soul is covered by 2 layers of matter. The gross body consists of 5 material gross elements, and the subtle body consists of 3 subtle elements, mind, intelligence, false ego. So we are the living persons inside the body. It's very difficult for us, right? This Kali Yuga, where the majority of the population is acting on the bodily platform, right? If someone says you are the soul, you are the living person inside the body, no, immediately we say no. Right? That's what we say. So, there are a lot of examples which can be given, but we'll not go in detail. But the simple example, again, Srila Prabhupada says is the difference between the living body and the dead body. The dead body is the body also, but why the dead body is not moving? Because the soul has gone, left. Now I'm able to talk everything because I'm the soul. Once the soul leaves, the body is a matter. It has to be burned and all the respective elements will combine. Earth will go and join the earth, fire, air, mind, intelligence, false ego, blah. It will go to the respective places. That's it. So when you say that your body goes to respective material elements, who are you then? How are you able to speak, talk, walk? This is because of the soul, spiritual in nature, which is a fragmental part of Krishna. Because the soul is a very tiny part of Krishna, it is spiritual in nature, so it gives the, it is moving the matter, which is body. So without soul, it cannot move. It's dead. So that is why Krishna consciousness is very important in relation to the soul. If you think that you are the body, then you don't need Krishna. Why do you need Krishna? I'm working, I'm getting money. But if you think you are the soul, you have to depend on Krishna because he is a supreme whole and you are a small, tiny part. Okay? Now this was a philosophy, Sankhya, which Kapila Muni was explaining to Devahuti in chapter 26. So 26 is only Sankhya. Then later on, in order for her to understand better, Lord Kapila moved on to chapter 27, which is Sankhya and Bhakti. Because in the chapter 26, right, you know that you are a spirit soul. Right? By the analysis which Kapila Muni has gave, Devahuti understood that I am a spirit soul. I am a person living in the body. Right? After understanding you are a soul, what are you going to do? Nothing. So, chapter 27 talks about, yes, now you know that you are not matter. You are a spirit soul. Now, having understood that you are a spirit soul, what you should do further? How you are going to manage your body and soul? How you are going to meditate on the super soul? So, that is explained on chapter 27. The fundamental principles of material nature. Right? And then, moving on further, in the chapter 28, Lord Kapila is talking about Ashtanga Yoga and Bhakti. Now, why Ashtanga Yoga is explained in chapter 28? What is the need for that? Anyone, quick one? Correct. That is, see, what happened? You have to, just go again, going back. Now the story of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, it happened in Sati Yuga. You know who is Devahuti? To your kindest information, she is a granddaughter of Lord Brahma. Right? Her father was Swayambhuva Manu. And Swayambhuva Manu had a lifespan of 100,000 yugas. Like this is Kali Yuga, right? We live only for some 70, 80 years, whatever maybe. Or even, okay, when I don't want to be very pessimistic, maybe 90 years, but not 100 years. Don't want to spoil the motivation on a Saturday morning. But this is just one yuga, you live for only 90 years. But there are four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali, and Swayambhuva Manu, that is all considered as one cycle, okay? One yuga cycle. He lives for 1,000 yuga cycles. And her daughter is Swayambhuva Manu. What can you expect? And the days, and those days, you know, everyone acted on the soul, you know. Only in Kali Yuga, first is body. And then when you say soul, maybe. But those days, first soul. Body is just a covering, that's it. Okay? Now, in those times, people used to live for 100,000 years. 100,000 years, not 1,000, 100,000. Those days, you have enough time to meditate on Ashtanga Yoga. You know, it has got eightfold mystic mechanical process. First, you have to do mechanically, realize you are a spirit soul, and then after knowing that you are a soul, then you have to worship the Lord. Because with your mind and the body, you cannot do any service to the Lord. We know that. Correct? The moment, you know, we go and do, you know, altar, you know, sometimes it will be okay, sometimes the mind will be wandering. So if that is the case, actually I should have done Ashtanga Yoga, completely understand I am a spirit soul, and then I will do the Aarti Parada Pallabha, which will take, you know, I don't know, next Kali Yuga or next Satya Yuga, we don't know. It's very hard. But this is Kali Yuga. We live only for 90 years max, or 70, 80 years. Now in that process, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has kindly given us the Sankirtana process, where one can simultaneously become a devotee and perform devotion service. Right? In that way, what happens? You realize you are a spirit soul, because Krishna is completely spiritual. There is no material thing in Krishna. Krishna's name, Krishna's stories, Krishna's Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, everything is spiritual. Right? So when everything is spiritual, what will happen to you? You also become spiritual, right? That's what is happening in Bhakti Yoga. When when an iron rod is kept into fire, what happens? The iron rod becomes like a fire. The iron rod is not fire, but becomes like a fire. In the same way, a devotee is engaged in Krishna consciousness, they will become spiritual. They realize that they are a spirit soul. If they are not realizing, then they have to revise their processes. They have to, you know, because that's a fact. So those times, it's a very, very lengthy time, and Devahuti and others, you know, they had enough time to meditate, to follow the Ashtanga Yoga, realize that they are a spirit soul, and then do service. Because devotion service can be done only in a Brahma Bhutva platform. What we are doing is sadhana bhakti. Right? We are not doing pure devotion service, because mind is wandering everywhere, right? But because of the transcendental knowledge, the mind will become steady. Because only with the transcendental knowledge, the mind can become steady. Otherwise, very difficult. So that is a process, right? So in the chapter 28, Kapila Muni gave Devahuti Ashtanga process and bhakti, mixed with bhakti. So chapter 26 only Sankhya. 27 is Sankhya plus bhakti. 28 is Ashtanga plus bhakti. And 29 is only bhakti. Okay? Pure devotional service. Okay? So that she will have a glimpse of what it is. So that is why, if you see, explanation of devotional service. Right? And the previous chapter, the Ashtanga Yoga, lot of, you know, details are given how one has to fix up and meditate on the Supreme Lord. Right? Lot of process. And here, pure devotional service. This is the highest, and that's been explained here. So that concludes our first chapter, where Srila Prabhupada's, Srila Prabhupada says, in the previous chapter, the material nature, The spirit and super soul are analytically studied, and in this chapter, the principles of bhakti yoga, devotion service, are explained. Right? So in the previous chapter, through the previous chapter, one knows, yes, material nature is there, living entity jiva is there, and Supreme Lord is there. Okay, that's what we see in the previous chapter. Now moving on to the next paragraph, Srila Prabhupada makes a point, very important point. Bhakti yoga with no philosophical basis is more or less sentiment. So what do you mean by that? And sometimes when new people come here, we ask them, hello, is it the first time you're coming? And things like that. They say, yeah. Now, what made you to come to the temple? Just Sunday, I felt like coming. Right? Saturday evening, Friday evening, just I felt like coming. Sentiment. Now, what happens? It's good, you come to the temple. But what happens to the sentiment? After some time, the sentiment mind, you know, it keeps on changing. Okay? Today is Saturday sentiment, tomorrow is Friday, Sunday, the sentiment will say, go to the movie. That's it, over. What's the sentiment? So Srila Prabhupada says, philosophical, it should have bhakti yoga with no philosophical basis. That means bhakti yoga should be done with philosophical basis. What is philosophical basis? Philosophical basis means truth, tattva, following from the scriptures. That is philosophical basis. Okay, I just give an example to understand it better. I think sometime back, I had the WhatsApp, and someone sent me the WhatsApp, you know, in our group, a video of, I mean, not ISKCON, outside of ISKCON, a man is doing aarti for a snake. I don't know if anyone saw that. No. There's a video of a man doing aarti for the snake. The snake has come out of the hole, you know, and it's standing there. He's doing with all this paraphernalia, you know, aarti. Now, what do you think of that? What is wrong in that? Of course, I can purely tell you that their mood is not sankarshan. They're not worshipping snake as sankarshan. Okay? If it is sankarshan, then you get a benefit. Because it's connected to the Lord. Anything connected to the Lord, benefit. If it is not connected, it's material. That's simple, right? That is our philosophy, right? Anything connected to Krishna is spiritual. If Krishna is not there, it is material. So, he's doing aarti, nice kerchief, everything, water, you know, and people are waiting. Like, similar we do. Now, what is the difference between the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, and the snake without any sentiment? Without any philosophical basis. Tomorrow, today is worshipping snake. Tomorrow he'll worship a rat. And then what happens? Day after tomorrow he'll worship ghost. And where is the end for it? Because there is no philosophical basis for that. Right? Now, what is philosophical basis? Now, we are worshipping Radha Pallava. Right? What is, why? Because Pancharatrika Vidya, Narada Muni has written, how to worship the Supreme Lord. There is a way. Now, what is a, do all of us know what is the importance of aarti? No. Just aarti, right? 7 o'clock aarti, we'll see the Lord. No. Aarti means the Lord has given a lot of material creations like earth, water, fire, which is our bodies, mind, intelligence, follow. Mind, intelligence, false ego. Now, aarti, in the form of aarti, whatever ingredients, right, the Lord has given, we are giving it back to Him in the form of aarti. Right? Flame represents fire, water, and the yak that represents air. Right? So the material creations is offered back to the Lord. Why it is there? Why we are offering back? Because anything you worship or do for Krishna is spiritual. So that is the aarti you do for Krishna, and then we take the aarti. That means it's spiritual. It's not no longer a flame. And the water, you know, we offer the water to the Lord, you know, and then we sprinkle on you, on everyone else. That is spiritual. Nothing to do with matter. It's no longer water. You understand? Anything in contact with Krishna becomes spiritual. You may not see it. It will work. See, I work for a pharmaceutical company, right? We are expected to know the formulations, correct? And we have to also do quality check, everything. But people who are taking the pharmaceutical, do they have to know the potency of ciflaxin? Ciflaxin is a very serious antibiotic, you know. Doctor may know. You know, 250 mg, 500 mg, you drop it and it will work. Right? Serious problems, you know. Whatever, UTI, RTI, respiratory tract, urinary tract. You put ciflaxin, it works. Right? But a person who is taking ciflaxin, should he know the chemical combination? All he knows is the doctor said, take this medicine 2 times a day for 5 days and your problem is over. Correct? In the same way, whether you know or not, devotional service will work on you. Yes? No? It is working. It will work. If you don't have faith also, it will work. That is how it is. Because we are dealing with Supreme Lord, you know, who is unlimitedly powerful. You know, Sarva Loka Maheshwara. Everything is created by Him. There is no superior truth than Krishna. Everything you see is created. The Lord has created, enters into the every universe as Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu. Right? He enters into every atom as Siradaka Sai Vishnu. Every atom Krishna is there. Every individual human being, right? He enters as Paramatma. He knows what you are doing. Before you think, He knows. How powerful He is. He's not just standing there as a Bhagavan. Everywhere, everything He knows. His potency is everywhere. He's spread across everywhere. You can't cheat Him. Unlimitedly powerful Krishna. See, everyone's heart is expanding. Doesn't matter. Humans, animals, snakes, ants. He enters into the heart. Right? But only in the human form you can understand this. Because animals cannot understand this. In the human form, you know, he's endowed with higher knowledge. Through that knowledge, you can understand and do the process and see the effect change. Okay? So, in this paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, yes, of course, bhakti yoga with no philosophical basis is more or less sentiment. Okay? So, we have to perform bhakti, understanding that it is devotion service to please the Lord. Because by definition, we are servant of Krishna. Because we are tiny soul. We are tiny. But the false ego thinks that we are big. We are always overpowered by the Lord's material nature. You are tiny. That's what Krishna has created you. Krishna has created you very tiny so that you depend on Him. But what happens because of the false ego? I have studied something. I am in Australia. I can do whatever I want. Do and try. The material energy binds you and gives you bodies after bodies. The moment you react with the material energy, you get one more body. One body is sure. Whether you like it or not, it's given. So the more attachment to the material energy means more bodies. See, our next body is already creating. Right? But the choice is us. Do you want a material body or spiritual body? That is a choice. You've got a free will. If you take up devotional service as recommended by the acharyas, you get a spiritual body, the next birth. Or, no, I don't have time for this. I'm very busy. Okay, become very busy in the next birth. I'm not stopping you. Krishna said, I don't want to drag you and make me think of me. You do your things. And not necessarily you'll have a human form. Because after 8.4 million species, you get the human form. And you spend in Australia, Fiji and all that, right? One lifetime you have got. And that if you misuse, again going back. Again you have to wait 8.4 million species to get one human form. Again you waste it. Human form It's not that it's not just given to you just like that. Oh, take it. No. You have to work for it. You have gone through 8.4 million species to get this human form. And what have you done? Nothing. Okay, do one more. Next birth again, material body. Oh, you have done spiritual. Something for me. Okay, then next birth, still Lord gives a human form. And you can start from whatever percentage you are left over. That makes sense, full sense. That's what Krishna works. Right? Now, why you know, it may sound that, yes, too much material means, you know, we should not do material things. No, that is not the point. We are a combination of body and soul, right? We have to do material things also, you know, we have got a house, we have to live. That is why the Bhakti Yoga is very, very important in Kali Yuga. What I do is, I go for work. Right? Not that I'm sitting all the time in the temple. And the money, I offer some results to Krishna. I have a house. I live with my wife and son. What we do? Our house is, Krishna is in the house. My wife is a devotee. Whatever we do, offer to the Lord. So Krishna is in the center. I'm still living in Melbourne. I'm not living in a jungle, you know. I'm still driving my car. I still got my passport, driver's license, right? What the process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, add Krishna. Wherever you are there, be there. You do not have to resign your job and go out of the house. No. That is not the propagation. If you really understand. Wherever you are, you like a job, do the job nicely for the service of Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna, right? But whatever profession you are, link it to Krishna. Live in the house. Add Krishna. Become a devotee. Make other members as a devotee. Talk about Krishna to the friends wherever possible. Lead a Krishna conscious life. That is what is recommended. And it's very simple. And Lord will decide what he wants at the end of the lifetime. It's up to him, right? If he wants, he will take us. It is not that we calculating here, are we going back to God and back to God and back to God. What is the point? Right? When I applied for the Australian visa, I just applied papers, you know. I never thought. I thought, okay, if they give me, it's okay. Then after 6 months, I got, you know, okay, you got Australian visa, you can come anytime, blah, blah, all this. So because, you know, I got a visa, I came like that, you know. I did not talk to the embassy. What do you think, you know? I am, you know, postgraduate, I've done this and that, this. No, if they want me, you take me. Fine. So at the end of the, like that, Krishna, if you do devotion service to Krishna and the necessary qualification, he will take you because he will say, okay, you have been performing nicely. Now I want you to do devotion service in my abode. And for that, you don't need, I cannot give you material body. Okay, I'll give you spiritual body. And then in that way, you can come and do my service. See? We got it. So Krishna has to, you know, okay. Krishna has to say, okay, you come to my abode. When you go to Krishna's abode, naturally you get a spiritual body. Right? Oh, maybe no. You like Australia very much. Okay. One more dog body you can do for some more time. Krishna will say. Or cat body. You like Australia, but unfortunately you don't have enough piety. You can become a dog in Australia. You like whatever suburb, you can become a dog. No problem. You can go in your BMW car, owner's car. That's fine. Such a beautiful process, Krishna consciousness. Huh? And in this process, very, very easy to perform. It's not at all difficult. See, one may think, what about my mind? My mind is not allowing me. Okay? How did your mind allow you to enjoy? In the same way, if you practice something, right? See, the important tip I'm going to give you today is that the mind is a habit-forming machine. Right? 1 month, 2 months, you come to the temple, you do devotion service, then it's very easy. The mind will like Krishna, mind will. Right now the mind is saying, don't go to the temple. Don't wear tilak. What is that? Something they're putting up. Yellow line. No, no. Don't wear only pant. What is that? It's a form. When you are born, your parents put pant, and then later on the tailor stitched pant for you, and you are wearing pant. But if you put dhoti, it's very... Nothing wrong. Of course, in your office, you know, you have to wear a pant. But when you come to the temple, you can wear dhoti. And dhoti, as Kadambakaran Maharaj said once, As you expand, the dhoti also expands. You need not have to stitch new dhotis. And you need not have to spend more money. But the pant, as you expand, you have to buy new pants. It's very easy. Dhoti, you know. Right? For Matajis also, you know. That is why Matajis, sari, you know, it's very comfortable. But for us, few dhotis is enough. But Matajis may need more. That's all. It's okay. So in this chapter, the Bhakti Yoga is explained. And just a question. For Bhakti Yoga, what is a prerequisite? Do you need any prerequisite for Bhakti Yoga? Like if you want to do Masters, you have got a prerequisite, BSc. If you want to do BSc, you should have a VCE. If you want to VCE, you should have finished 10th grade. If you want 10th grade, you should have got primary, high school. Correct? Everything, there is a prerequisite. What is a prerequisite for Bhakti? Really? Did you have Shraddha before coming to devotees? Independent. Nothing you want, no qualification. For example, someone can walk in, right? I walk in today. Okay. This temple is very good. Right? Alright. What is this very nice, peaceful atmosphere? And then talk to the people. Who is Krishna? Who is this Acharya? Hear about him. Little bit faith. 0.00001%. It doesn't matter. You go next day and come. And they say, no, upstairs they are giving prasadam. Take some prasadam. You know? Nice food you can take. And then comes the next day. Then you see someone chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Do a few times. Again, take more prasadam. Do more. And then what happens? You get faith. And then slowly when you come first, you know, once a month. Then you come twice a month. Then you come every week. Right? Your faith increases. Because Krishna is working as Paramatma in your heart. And then slowly you think, this is nectar. Oh, how did I not come to the temple before? This is some rasa, happiness, you know. That is all is devotion service. You need not have to have Sankhya. You are a doctor in Sankhya philosophy. No. All the qualification for bhakti is, are you a human being? Have you got intelligence? Can you chant Krishna's name? Can you love someone? We love our dog. Right? We love our cockroach. Whatever may be. Rats and all that. Why can't we love the Supreme Personality of Godhead? There is a process. Right? We love our computer. Fridge. But actually, when you say love, right? You cannot love an object. What is love? Love means relationship between two people. I cannot say I love this this glass. Because this tumbler doesn't reciprocate with me. Correct? Relationship. Love means relationship. What is that here? When Srila Prabhupada says here. The Supreme Lord and the devotee. The relationship is bhakti. Love. Service. See? Bhakti, love is not for material things. Love is only spiritual. Where? It can reciprocate. Because in the spiritual world, everything is spiritual. In the spiritual world, the tree will talk to you. The water will talk to you. The plate will talk to you. Why are you eating so much? Do you know that? Oh, you don't have cholesterol, but still, okay. Don't eat too much. But in the plate, does it say that you've got cholesterol? Everything is...
In the story, Chintamani.
Yeah. Everything is spiritual. But right now the problem is we are not spiritually seeing everything. If you see spiritually, you can see Krishna in every atom. Can you see that? Can anyone see that? You're so advanced, right? Can you see Krishna? Krishna is here. He is in this pillar too. Right? In every pillar he is there. He is not only there. But do we have the eyes to see that? No, we are not advanced. Right? We have to progress. Once you get advanced, you can see Krishna everywhere. You can see the Lord face to face. So this is a process, but you should have faith and do it. But the biggest interruption or impediment is Maya. Maya will constantly pull her to her side, you know. Come that side. Why, Krishna? I'll give you a BMW. Right? I'll give you Gold's manager job. Right? Why, Krishna? You want to be the CEO of the company. Forget Krishna. Here is CEO. The devotee does not want. He just wants Krishna. He wants something, you know, supplementary to add on. That his material life is not his goal. You know, his goal is Krishna. See, if your goal is material, then Krishna will go away and away from you. You know, your goal is Krishna. But the material is a supplement to live, you know. You need something to live. Okay, if Krishna gives you, fine. If he doesn't give you, okay. Right? It's not that you should have it. But Krishna consciousness is very sweet and good. So very easy to perform. Okay? Now, the last paragraph is Sankhya, where Srila Prabhupada says, Sankhya philosophy is an analytical study of all existence. So, one has to understand everything by examining its nature and characteristics. So, it's very, very complex actually, you know, understanding Sankhya. You know, understanding each and every element. Oh, this is not spirit. This is not spirit. Very, very deep analysis, right? So, what happens? Why do they do that? They go to the very root and they find out, oh, this is everything matter has got a spiritual behind, has got a spirit behind. And the whole spirit is Krishna, or super soul, right? Or Bhagavan, or Krishna, Vishnu, whatever it may be. So just to find out that, and once you find out that the Lord is there, and then it's easier for you as a spirit to perform devotion service. So that is the whole, tracking back the root, root cause analysis. Do you do that in your office? Anyone do the root cause analysis? No. No. We used to do, because sometimes we get customer complaints. Once we had a customer, that's a bit funny one. We have got a customer complaint from a lady. We make a lot of cough syrup. This lady has sent one bottle back. Oh, there's a customer complaint we got. Then, incidentally, I was there. I thought, let me see what the customer complaint. This lady said, I have been constantly buying a product, but this product is not good. I don't know. It doesn't taste the same. Maybe, you know, I need a replacement bottle. Then I thought, okay. Then when I took the bottle, this is a 250ml bottle. She has left only 10ml. If it is not very good, why did you drink all the 240ml? Right? Now for that we have to do a root cause analysis. Why she did that? Perhaps, you know, perhaps she may be good or whatever may be. But sometimes, you know, it could be very complex. Sometimes the easy one is give her a replacement, a new bottle. Then she keeps supporting us, you know, she'll buy a new product. You know what I mean? So like that, the Sankhya is a root cause. The root cause is what? Vishnu, Krishna. Right? And the Bhagavad explains this phenomena that in a tree, right, you don't water the leaves and the branches. What do you water? Root. Why you water the root? Because you know, if you're intelligent, you know, if I water the root, then all the leaves and the branches will be nourished. But if I water the branches and the leaves, what happens? No water for the root. So what happens? If you keep on, you know, upgrading your body without any devotional service, without anything for the soul, what happens? The body will one day die. And then what happens? One more body. From previous body, we came to one more body. If you don't take up devotional service, one more body. One more body. That's it. This is a cycle. Those who are born is sure to die, and those who die will be born back again. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Now, interesting enough, this Sankhya, Krishna has also mentioned Sankhya in which chapter of Bhagavad Gita? 13th. Huh?
13th.
In? 26th chapter?
No.
There are only how many chapters of the Bhagavad Gita? No, when you said 26, is it an updated version? Okay. Now Krishna explains the Sankhya in the second chapter. He gives an analytical picture of a difference between body and soul. Because in 2.39, later on if you see, Krishna says, now I explain to you, Arjuna, about the Sankhya philosophy. Now, he says, again, do your Karmakanda. In a sense, you know, the first, the second, two, three chapters, Krishna really, you know, gives here and there, and Arjuna is slightly confused. Krishna, you told this, what you want me to do like that. But anyway, so in the second chapter, 2.39, Krishna says, now I've explained to you the analytical study of Sankhya. So from 2.10, the second chapter, to 2.38, Krishna is talking about Sankhya. Extensive. What does he say? He says that the soul is very tiny. It cannot die. You cannot kill it. You cannot cut with a knife. You cannot moisten it. You cannot kill by weapon. It is a spiritual in nature, right? There's no death for the soul. There's no birth for the soul. So if you think that you're the body, yeah, you know you're going to die and you'll be born again. But if you know you're a soul, then there's no fear. See, fear component is not there. Because you know, I am a soul, I will not die. But the body will die because you know it's a covering, it has to die one day. Whether you like or not, the body has to die. You cannot help it. The material nature has to decompose. Right? Has to disintegrate. Right? Created, maintained, annihilated. That's a tattva, that's a truth. You cannot do much about it. But this knowledge of Krishna consciousness or understanding the difference between body and soul, this is known as transcendental knowledge. This gives you lot of faith and fearlessness. Because you're not living on the body which is going to die. You're living on the soul which is not going to die. Hence, you're happy all the time. There's no fear for you. Even if you die today, okay, why not? I've done devotional service. So what is fear? Otherwise, as a materialistic, today you're going to die. My bank balance, my wife, husband, son. Fear. Okay, so he said, by the scientific study of material nature, the living entity and super soul, one has to understand the basic principles of devotional service. So Prabhupada concludes that. So you know that you are the soul. And you also know material nature which has given you the body. Right? Why do we think we are the body? Because we are attached to the body. If you think that the body is constantly changing, right? Why do you get attachment to the body? See, I came here probably around 7:15 or so. Okay, now it's 8:45. Correct? My body has already changed. When I go home, I'm going with a new body to my wife. I said, I'm a new body because my body has changed. Correct? Every second the body is changing. Maybe at the macro level, right? My nose, my eyes may not be changing. But at the, you know, at the micro level, it's changing every second. So you are a changing person. Do you trust you? Krishna says you are a soul. There is no change for the soul. The soul is permanent. It will not die. See, the logic or the, you know, the faith or the argument for the soul is so good, you know. And that's what Krishna is saying, that soul will not die. Soul cannot be killed. Right? So only everything is for the body. So the final conclusion is, I'll conclude with this phrase. Right? Is if one is attached to the spiritual energy, there is no suffering. If one is attached to the material energy, there will be suffering. What is material energy? Because material energy has given you the body. If you are attached to your body, suffering. If you are attached to the soul, liberation. Okay. We have, I think, discussed enough. I think I'll stop here. If there's any quick questions or comments or corrections. Okay. Gantraj, Shri... Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, you can tell. What?
Can I go for the questions?
Yeah, go.
Yes, so you were talking about the love. Love actually is the Krishna's love, is the Krishna now doesn't exist actually in the material platform, as you say. So my question is just in a family, whether there is no love between husband and wife, how the family goes on. So this is love, it is not true love, but it is something like illusion.
Yeah, the love will not go on. That is why you see divorce everywhere, you know.
What is the question?
The question I asked actually in the family of course, this way the family keep on going, there must be some love between husband and wife.
Yeah, but that love... Yeah, that is why, you know, that there is no actually love. There is only lust in the material world. Husband wants something from the wife wants something from the husband, right? Is a real love, you call in Kali Yuga. If the husband doesn't go for the job, the wife does not like him. If the wife doesn't make good food, the husband doesn't like it. Whatever may be. I'm just giving an example, right? It's based on sense gratification. How much money you're bringing home? Are you giving me security? Then you are my husband. Are you taking care of my children? Are you houses? Are you taking care of your house? Everything. Then you are my wife. What is this? There won't be love. That is why you see a lot of divorce, you know. People have their own opinions and they expect, you know, they live in the illusory world. My wife is like that. My husband is like that. It will never happen. This is a world of illusion. You are dreaming in the day, you are dreaming in the night. But the night dreaming, you take it very lightly. Daydreaming is very important. Oh, I want someone like this. Why is that? Night you're dreaming, your lion is coming and killing you. When you get up, it's a dream. But in the daytime, all the time you're dreaming, I want like this, I want a house, I want a car, I want a job, I want bank balance, I want like this. Is it not dreaming? Right? So material life is lots illusory energy. In the illusory energy, you're given a body for some time and the body will be dissolved. But Krishna's body is permanent. You cannot do anything. So we think that we are permanent and Krishna is nothing, not existing. The opposite is true. Krishna is permanent, we have got a temporary body, our body will be dissolved after some time. So Srila Prabhupada says in the first paragraph that everyone will be checked based on time. You live for some time, I live for some time, the body will be dissolved. Next body. So what is the big deal? And here, the love, as you said, no, there is no love there. Material world is based on love, lust. Spiritual world is based on love. So Chaitanya Charitamrita gives a verse, you know, Atmendriya Preeti is Kama, Krishnendriya Preeti is Prema. You do anything for your senses, right? For yourself. That is Kama, lust. You do anything for Krishna, that is Prema. Because Krishna is part of everyone. See, if I go and just, I've got a house, my wife and children, that's it. I don't care about neighbors, whatever it may be, my friends, society. That is not correct. Because Krishna is representing everyone. Krishna is in your heart, in your heart. So we are all one family. A devotee considers everyone as a family. So he's not selfish. But the material life means selfishness. Selfishness means what? Lust. Lust means it will separate. There's one thing, you want it, I want it. What will happen? I will kill you, you kill me, finished. That thing will be there. But both won't be there. The material life. Wherever Krishna is not there, it is a zero. If Krishna is there, it's one. If you put 0, 0, 0, I give a check, right? To Kate. 0, 0, 0. Is it valid? If I put a 1 here, then you get $1,000. That 1 is Krishna. 0, 0 is blank. Without Krishna, no life, no existence. There's nothing which exists without Krishna.
So the answer is lust.
So lust will be separated. That's why, you know, before at least there was some love. In the other yugas, they were acting as a soul, so there was some love. Now Kali Yuga, only body means, lust means, finished. Everything will go. That's why they live only for 70 years, it's okay. They separate also, what happens? Not a big deal. Before Devahuti lived for 100,000 years, if husband and wife separate, what will they do for 100,000 years? Here Kali Yuga, they live for 70 years, okay. 20 years separation, 40 years, okay. And later on Kali, there will be only 20-30 years. People will within 20 years they get their grandchildren and all that. How old is your grandfather? 20 years old. 20 years. At 20 years, why do you care, you know, whether you marry or not marry? Just take a Krishna conscious. I think, you know, later on it will be very good, right? Everyone take Krishna conscious, go back to Godhead. Within 20 years, you can go back to Godhead. Because the lifespan is only 20 years. Isn't it? Now we'll say, oh, I have to live for 80 years Krishna conscious, it will be tough. You know, later on you live only for 25 years. 25 years, take a Krishna conscious, go back. At that time, every second will be a problem because the mind will be going like this. Okay.
What is about, it all? He's also asking what keeps devotee.
Yeah, yes, very devotee family goes on very nice.
Okay, if devotee family goes on, that means the process is somewhere. You know? It's not, they're not following the process somewhere. You understand what I mean? It is not Krishna conscious family, put it that way. You can make a show and all that, you know. But it's something is lacking somewhere. Simple. Krishna is not in the center. If Krishna is the center, it will be okay. Krishna is not in the center, disaster will happen. Bound to happen. This is my conclusion. Right? They may be so-called devotees, right? But if there is, that's how it is. Okay, we'll stop. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki Gaura Premanam.